Hello and welcome to the Supersize Phys Ed podcast. I'm your host, Dave Carney, and I teach in Fort Myers, Florida, kindergarten to fifth grade PE. So welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. So today I want to talk about paras. Now, some of you might not even know what paras are. They're paraprofessionals or assistants. I call them assistant coaches, or they're my coaches. So let's talk about paras. Here we go. All right, everybody. So paras are my assistant coaches. And I'm sure if you have large groups, or I hope if you have large groups, that you have paras as well. Paras to me, unfortunately, equal a lot of turnover. And I would imagine that might be the case for you as well. So let's talk about it right now. Paras, first of all, the paras I have right now are awesome. They're great. I have two females and one male, and it's a good balance, good mix. We work well together. The problem is, unfortunately, they don't get paid as much as I do, not even close. So there is a lot of turnover. It's hard because some of them are younger in transition, some of them are older and in transition, or just coming back to back to work from having children. Some of them are a little bit older and just they've already retired from their main job and they want to try something different or work with kids. And I've had a lot of different personalities in my 8 years here at my school. They've all been wonderful in different ways, and some have been harder to work with than others. So I just want to talk about the different, well, first of all, my journey as far as paraprofessionals and, you know, what I expect of them. And, you know, maybe this will give you some ideas as to your expectations, or set the expectations, and maybe this can help you in your large groups. So here we go. So first of all, the main thing is, and it's a hard thing, is you are their boss, but not really. I mean, you know, I am their boss. We are kind of on an island out here. We're by ourselves in my office. We have a pavilion, courts, and, you know, grassy field, all that good stuff. We're out here. We're not separated from the school, like, ridiculously, but we are kind of by ourselves all day. You know, we have the kids coming in all day long, and we have our office. This is where I usually eat lunch. We can go in. It's not like we can't. I just don't have a lot of time. And so, you know, I'm their supervisor. I'm not the principal, but I'm their supervisor. And sometimes that can be tough because it's, you know, when I walked in here my first year, the PE teacher was only, the one right before me was only here a year, and she left over the summer. So, you know, I walked into somebody else's program, and at the time there were three paras that had returned, and it was very difficult at first because I felt like it was two of them kind of against me, and then the other one, who's actually a good friend of mine, he's very quiet. And so I don't know, it was almost like a 2v2 situation or 2v1 situation. It was very difficult at first because I felt like they weren't buying into what I wanted. They weren't buying into my vision for PE. And it was very difficult at first. Now, it got better. We had some good conversations. And actually, one of them still works here. She just works inside because of the sun and things like that. She needed to be inside, basically. So it was very difficult at first, though. Really was. And it was a tough year. So year two, if I'm just going real quick with my journey here, year two, the guy from that year returned, and then I got two more male paras. And the one thing I remember, or actually a few things I remember, and they're not probably good things, but, you know, we had a lot of fun, and that's not a bad thing, but I don't feel like I was the best teacher those first 2 years. I do remember us having a ton of fun. We after the kids were gone, we'd play pickleball, or, you know, we played dodgeball with the kids, which I got rid of after that year, I think, or started to phase it out. That was not a good thing. It was not a good practice. That's a whole other story, and I did another podcast on dodgeball, so I'm not going to get into that here, but it wasn't the best idea. And, you know, one of the things we did on Fridays for lunch is we had a grill. And I'm not kidding you, we grilled out on Fridays. And I don't know. We'd even call our principal and say, "Hey, do you want a hot dog?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, sure." So as long as we kept him happy, it was good. Eventually, the smoke started going into the first grade hallway, and I think we almost set the smoke alarm off once or twice. So we got rid of that. But the point is, we had a lot of fun, but I don't feel like I was a leader. I feel like I was one of the guys, and we just kind of were goofing off and having fun. It wasn't a bad year at all, but it was just, I don't think it was the best teaching situation for me, and I didn't do a great job. So year three, I started to get females here, after year two, I got two females, and they both stayed for a few years. Actually, one of them just left last year, or this past year, and she still subs for me. So that got better. We got into more dance things. There was more of a balance. I needed females for, I guess, quote unquote, girl stuff. And I really mean that more like kindergarten and first grade. If there were like bathroom problems and things like that, I could send in the female coaches, because I didn't want to be any part of that, as far as a parent goes, or parents getting upset. And that did happen in year two. I mean, I had no other females out here, and sometimes we had to help the girls, you know, just with things or whatever. And, you know, or we put a Band-Aid on their leg, and I remember one parent getting upset about that. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? You know, I didn't, that's my job. So anyways, it was good to have a balance of guys and girls. And I'm not gonna go in every single year, but basically we've had turnover pretty much every year since then. At least one person's left every single year. And last year, two people left. So I have a returning male para, and we hired two female paras. And it's just been a lot of turnover, but I'm gonna go over some strategies as to how we can maybe keep the paras happy and also keep them involved in our units and our PE program, because I think that's really important. Okay, the first strategy for paraprofessionals is let them have input. It's their program too. There's many, many times where I will tell them what game we're playing, and I'll give them examples, and then I'll let them kind of make it their own. If they want to add something to it or take away from it, I make sure that they have input. They have a chance to talk about it, a chance to talk with the kids, talk to me, and if changes need to be made, that's fine. As long as it fits with my overall goal, you know, I want to let them have a voice, basically. That's number one, is let them have a voice. Okay, number two is, you know, I consider them, and they are, they're equal. We're all four equal. Yes, I do most of the talking up front with the kids. I do most of the questioning, especially large group. But I also give them, tasks to lead groups, of course, and question in their groups. And to the students, I never show them that they are under me, I guess. I mean, I would never talk down to them. You know, make sure, you know, you are all equal. They are coaches. I don't call them paras. They're, you know, we're all four of us, we're coaches. We are coaches of our PE program. So that is number two, is they are equal. Okay, number three, give them responsibilities and jobs to do. So in the past, one of my paras, she did a lot of my like jump rope for heart stuff. Like she would be the kind of the coordinator, the go-to person. She'd collect the money, all that stuff. And I would double check everything. And she was just my rock when it came to extra stuff, or calling or emailing some places and saying, "Hey, can you come out, send some, you know, baseball players out here, some hockey players?" And she would be that person. So I'm given responsibility. Give them a job. Like we had half days before break, and you know, I asked all of them, I said, "Okay, we need to clean this, we need to, you know, scrub down the refrigerator, whatever." And as long as it's divvied up equally, that's fine. But in the past, especially in my first year, I did everything. Maybe my first 2 years, I did everything, and it got really tiring and old. And then I would get resentful towards them, and it wasn't their fault. It was because I didn't communicate, you know, as well as I should have to them. I should have said, "Hey, please, I need your help doing this." And you're going to have some pushback sometimes. Last year, I had some pushback, and I'm actually, it was a pair I had. He actually did a really good job with the kids. He did a good job leading groups. He's a good coach. But, you know, he didn't really like me telling him what to do, kind of thing. And I don't mean to say that in a, you know, tell him what to do, like I'm forcing him to do something. But, you know, when I ask him to do certain things, he would sometimes not do them or not want to do them or give me a reason why he shouldn't do it. And, you know, you need to be firm, but you also need to be fair and give them jobs and responsibilities. So that's number three. Okay, number four, I'm going to call this feed them to the wolves slowly. So when I first get a new para, a new coach, I will have them shadow me or another para that's been around. I will introduce them to the students. I'll let them observe. I'll let them help out. You know, do the questioning. You can lead. You can give the instructions. And then I'll have them break off into groups and take their own, you know, probably one class to start. You know, but sometimes we take two classes, sometimes even three. Just, I don't normally do that, but if something happens or there's a, you know, there's an injury or something, there are times when one para or even myself will take three classes at a time. So slowly introduce them to the students and then eventually, you know, let them go, take a class, take a group, lead a group. And that is how I have found success with my paras, my coaches. So now it is time for your cowbell tip of the day. All right, I feel like this is a very, very, very important cowbell tip of the day. My first 2 years here with my former principal, I guess I was kind of afraid to ask him if I could help with the hiring process for paras. And when my new principal came in and we started having turnover, I asked her, I said, hey, you know, I have to live with these people and I want them to be a good fit. Can I be a part of it? And she said, sure. And that has been just a game changer. And as a matter of fact, my current male para, Seth, I interviewed him at Starbucks. That was our interview because my brother told me about him because he worked with my sister-in-law at a different school. And last year I did all the hiring. My principal's out of town. I set up the interviews with people. I'm the one who interviewed everybody and he was the best candidate. So I hired him and, you know, that's not how it always works. Like this year it was with my principal and most of the years it's me and my principal or assistant principal. And we will meet with potential candidates or potential hirees. And so I guess my point is don't be afraid to ask your administration if you can be involved in the decision making, because you are the one who has to work with them, live with them, train them, and you want to be somebody that's a good fit. So that is your cowbell tip of the day. All right, everybody. So that is your cowbell tip of the day, and that is the episode for the day. Okay, hopefully things are going well with your paras, and I'd love to hear how you work with them. I'd love to hear about your relationships with them at supersizephys.com. My email is in there. Sign up for the free ebook. Sign up for our email list. Get involved. You guys are awesome. Take care. Here's a new rock beat for you.